This is Brian Kramer, coach of coaches and author of Human to Human, H to H. Michelle Killebrew has been a data and analytics driven marketer for most of her career. Recently, she worked in the new ventures division of PwC, allowing her insights into the direction of startups and digital transformation, and specifically how that's affecting B2B marketers. Let's get right into it. Here's Michelle. Michelle, I am so excited to have you here on Leadtail TV. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Happy to be here.
Well, let's dive right in. That's the best place to start, I find, when you just get right into the meat of things. And so let's go ahead and do that. In the past couple of years, anybody watching, just so you know, Michelle's been working at PwC, specifically in the products and technologies department. And so, Michelle, I'm curious how you've seen companies approach the go-to-market strategy, the big strategy that everybody always talks about, that everybody's always excited to see how companies treat it differently. Is there a difference? Isn't there a difference? In a way, and especially in a way that works. What's the way that works for you?
Collaboratively, quite honestly. I think that's the biggest challenge with go-to-market in general is it's an orchestration of so many different functional disciplines. In order to go to market well, you have to, make sure that marketing and sales are interlocked, sales and operations, your feedback loop to how your product teams are taking feedback from customer success, all of those different facets. It was interesting just in terms of even looking if you look at the definition of go-to-market, there is a business go-to-market, there is a sales go-to-market, there's a marketing go-to-market, and oftentimes there's even a debate in terms of who owns this concept. So bringing people to the table, having a real collaborative approach of, which team's role, how do they come together? How do we orchestrate a plan that is truly operational, something that is truly executable and that we can all launch together instead of competing with, siloed objectives?
Ooh, yeah. The siloed objective, it's always, it's so common that happens, and how you rein it in is super important. I'm definitely in agreement on that. And I'm also curious if there's a particular direction you've noticed for younger companies approaching go to market from that, that's different than in the past.
I don't think so. Every company approaches it differently. And I think a lot of that has to do with, has to do with personalities, it has to do with your business model, it has to do with your industry, it has to do with your audience. And so I don't know that there is a right way. As long as you are keenly listening to those feedback loops, whether it's your customer feedback loop, having those close communications between sales and marketing to know what message is resonating when they finally get a client on the phone. All the way through. So I don't know that there is sort of a silver bullet for young companies, for mature companies. It really comes down to making sure that you have that collaboration and you're breaking down the walls, you're communicating across departments to fine tune and iterate what is and isn't working.
Yeah. It's so true. We're all facing the same challenges, and it is definitely, the key thing I'm taking away here is collaboration. Even still, no matter the size, no matter the anything, you are in collaboration with, and that's what totally maintains, a better outcome. And I know you present yourself or describe yourself as a data-driven marketer. Has that changed over the last year or so? Or are you still thinking of yourself that way?
Absolutely. Now, I think I will always be or characterize myself as a data-driven marketer because I think you have to be. It's also kind of where I started my career. One of the first marketing job that I had, which was my second role in my career, but was in marketing research. So actual survey design, which of course is all quantitative, and then focus groups and even user studies on how people are engaging with software design. So the qualitative aspects of that. And so for me, at a fundamental level, understanding why people did certain things and then in what proportion. So you could figure out the strategy of extending your reach to impact, you know, the majority of your audience and understand the rationale behind those thinking was foundational. So I think it will always stay with me in that aspect.
Yeah, I don't know how we can ever escape it. It's one of those things that'll be around forever. I remember a time though when we used to get bonus points when we were at conferences together back in the day when we went to conferences, and you, if you didn't hear data in every other sentence, I'd be surprised. I would say that it's become kind of a little bit more table stakes. Would you agree?
I absolutely would agree. Absolutely would agree. Yeah, people are still trying to figure out how to wrangle it though, right? I think the challenge now is we have all of this data, how do I make sense of it? I suppose that had always been the problem even 10 years ago, but now it's by a factor of X, so.
Yeah, it's not getting smaller. So as you look at B2B marketers, you're using data and analytics, and even more so, it's got to fit into a tech stack. Are you seeing it used in specifically in different tech stacks, and how are you seeing it being pulled into different directions?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You have to, right? I mean, one of the things that I've done in many organizations is design those tech stacks from the ground up. And so making sure that you don't paint yourselves into a corner with your data integration and that you're thinking long-term and holistically about how you're integrating your tools and defining your data architecture at the get-go is critically important. I think if you have your data in multiple silos, that's when you don't know what's the single source of the truth. What is one data set telling me that another isn't? How does it tell the whole 360 degree picture of what's actually going on? So yeah, it's important.
I know that every data set and every outcome, every report and every stack that you look at and all the things that go into it are super custom depending upon the scenario. But do you have one thing that you particularly take notice of or you focus on because you know that that's always going to be a North Star for you?
Yeah, strong foundations, really strong foundations. I think, and what I mean by that is get your CRM, get your marketing automation and email service provider, like get all of those foundations down pat before you're looking at bolting on AI wizards for, I don't know, whatever the latest WYSIWYG, most shiny object in the marketing space is, because there's often, well, aside from just complexity of your tech stack and how you're building out your marketing system, if you don't have a strong foundation, none of it matters. And so I see that as a challenge in how organizations, they look for the shiny object to fix certain problems when really what they need to do is kind of go down to brass tacks. Maybe your database needs a major hygiene effort, whatever that might be. If you have a strong foundation and just keep it simple, you're going to be that much more effective. And then add, you know, those elements that you need as you grow. And don't think that you need everything, right? I'm sure you've seen the MarTech 5000, which is 8600 or whatever it is this year in 2020. It's too much to keep on top of. There are so many niche solutions. There's so much that you could do, but you really need to think about what you should do.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. People put in place too much technology in a lot of cases, especially, you know, in the early days when it was like shiny penny syndrome. And they used to just go like, I could use that and that and that and that and that and that. And then they buy it all and then they end up using like this much. And so do you feel like that's still the case? And there's still like tools that they just aren't using that they have?
I think so. I think unfortunately in economic climates like this, companies are going to start looking at what they're actually deriving value from. And so on the marketing vendor side of the house, they're going to assess what is what is critical, what they're actually using. If there is some type of shelfware, they're probably going to pick up and terminate that relationship. I mean, it's marketing is a challenging place to be in a down economy anyways, because often that's where you can relatively easily cut budget, but tech is going to be part of that. So, you know, what do you really need? What's impacting your business? Is it giving you insights that you need so that you can be more performance oriented and meet your client and your customers where they are? Those are the things that are going to be critical. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's different. You say that, which I totally agree with. And I wonder, and I'm curious if also marketing is starting to show, and maybe already has, that they can prove revenue as a model for marketing. And, you know, we go back to the days where you could assign relevance and attributes to a closed sale that marketing won. Do you think that will be a reason to keep the marketing department intact, that's a huge piece?
I do. I absolutely do. However, I don't know how many marketing organizations are really as mature as they might like to be to demonstrate that, both in terms of their tech stack, their teams, and or, you know, leadership, because just, you know, somebody who's in those roles may not have grown up with some of those, the things that might be required today. Yeah.
Fascinating. So I wonder if there's also a way that B2B marketers could cut through the hype and not allow the hype to cloud their own judgment of what they need and narrow down to what you just said. Do you think that's going to happen?
I do. I think especially now it's going to be a matter of course, because it will be necessary. I don't think that there's going to be much shying away from it. And so I do think it was going to cause a bit of a paradigm shift for us in the industry, right? Just in terms of how do we demonstrate impact? And it's not all performance either. You know, brand, especially now, has a big impact on how you're engaging with your customers and your clients. And, you know, with these, I hate to say it, but I'll say it anyways, these unprecedented times, your customers are going to remember how you as a brand made them feel. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm talking about marketing driving revenue, I don't just mean performance or just digital. There was a large sports retailer, I won't name them, but they had just in Adweek this week, they had spoken about they had overcorrected on digital marketing because they really were trying to tie into that performance and being really accountable about where they were spending their dollars. And they recognized that they actually significantly missed their audience because they underinvested in brand. And so I think it's important to understand that. And when you're saying, yes, marketing drives revenue, to not necessarily interpret that is only referring to performance.
Mm. Wow. You know, there is obviously so much room for performance enhancement. It sounds like it just applies to sports, but it's actually a marketing thing too. Yeah. And so as we move into this new normal, I said it too, like we're all saying these new normal things as if there ever was a normal, but the newest normal that we're coming into, what strategies have you or operations have you implemented to keep your marketing efforts moving forward?
Yeah, I think you have to make a plan and then be ready to test and iterate. I mean, I think your planning cycles have just become shorter. And those feedback loops need to be tighter. I think it becomes more difficult, of course, when you're in enterprise sales cycles because they're longer. And so neither you on the marketing side nor your client really have good visibility into time horizons. So it becomes a really interesting dance if you're on the 12-month enterprise B2B sales cycle and you don't know and your client doesn't know what may be happening in a year. So there's, how do you keep people engaged, but you're not necessarily sure of their budget need and timing. You know, there's just a lot of uncertainty on both sides of the fence. So feedback loops.
Oh man, that works both in business, but also at homes, but we don't have to go into that. What challenges do you see? What challenges do you see in this new normal? And how do you think that they should be dealt with?
I think a lot of what we have fundamentally done in our profession is plan your work, work your plan. And some of that has become really challenging. And so I think it comes down to agility. Mm. I think that that can also be an overused word, because what does that mean? But I think it's a little bit, we have to let go a little bit. We have to give ourselves permission. And I think this is probably good advice in these times, both personally and professionally, to make those plans and then see how they come together. If you're putting together a campaign, maybe not overinvest in a huge overarching one, kind of keep it a little bit more tight and then see if you can extend it or stretch or see how the market reacts. It was interesting too, just from our macro professional lens, I'm sure you noticed at the TV advertising how much it shifted, right, in those early waves, right, from we're all in it together, and then it was let's bring some levity and some joy, and where some of that at a societal level has kind of landed just from the advertising space. It's fascinating. Everybody's just trying to figure it out. So, you know, cut yourself some slack.
That's for sure. When you are going through something for the first time, you're definitely not alone, and you're making up what you think it should be, because there's no chance to test it, and you just have right. to go for it and be your most human self and acknowledge that. How far do you think that that can go in terms of being human for a brand or being human in a brand?
I think it's going to shift. I mean, back to that paradigm shift, I think it's going to be one of those things that becomes table stakes and becomes expected, that brands need to stand for something. And that authenticity, that human nature becomes something that's expected. I do. I think that's one of the things that will continue.
Oh, music to my ears, as you know, being the human to human guy. That's what I believe that every company needs that more now than ever. And I'm wondering, as we move forward, even in just the next 3 to 6 months, do you see much shifting or changing in the way that marketers are focusing their efforts?
I don't know. And here is why I don't know. As a marketer who's looking at launch plans and things of that nature, and I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but the election throws in a whole different set of considerations. And so to even say what things are going to look like in 3 to 6 months is yet another wave of uncertainty. So, I don't really have a good answer for that.
You know, that's so appropriate. And I'm so glad that you said that, because as we've seen, things can change on a dime, and they can happen. You can have the best laid plans and everything can shift in a direction you really never saw coming. So I wonder if it's really like plan A, B through Z, and that's still not enough, because you could just be surprised with a whole different alphabet.
Yes. Yeah. You certainly have to do a fair bit of scenario planning. Absolutely. Both in terms of, message, investment, yield expectations. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if you spent all your time there, then you probably wouldn't be producing the kind of content that you need to produce, or the kind of lead gen that you need to be doing, because after all, we are in business to be in business. So if you're scenario planning all the time, then the business isn't being run. Do you think so?
I do. I think that's why those short planning cycles and just being really iterative, that's the best that you can do. Because if you're trying to scenario plan for a full year at this point, try and keep those tight, and both your expectations and your effort tight. Right. Mm. Don't overinvest. Don't overstretch yourself, because it could lead to frustration or exhaustion or double work or all of those things.
You know, I'd love to end on this note of what is the thing that you look at that you really pride yourself over, or everyone should pride their self over when they look at data and they're thinking, we did well on that. I mean, obviously we all want sales, so everybody can point at sales, but as a marketer, what's the thing that you like to point to and say, wow, we really did well on that?
Well, I certainly say that the North Star KPI was always revenue, but when I'm thinking about data and things that make me proud is understanding a data point, whether it's a single data point and or a full campaign set retrospective on how do things work, is making those learnings and those optimizations to take you to the next level. So we saw this metric was good, bad, and different. We put a hypothesis, it delivered beyond, it worked, it didn't, and that continued a test and learn philosophy. It's more the philosophy than a specific data point. And then of course, all of that leads to that ultimate KPI and revenue.
Yeah. Oh, see, I was trying to sneak out that one data point that you were going to tell us all the silver bullet. And I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I tried anyway. Yep. Okay. So I lied. I want to end on one thing, and that's just working from home. Mm-hmm. As you work from, everybody is working from home at this point, I think we can safely say, and many folks have begun to experience the need for more. I don't know if this is even the right word, work-life balance, because that's kind of a misnomer. But what do you find to be your best solution to creating a more meaningful balance in your work and your life?
You just have to make that personal time a priority. And, you know, whether that is personal time where you're reading by yourself or you're exercising, in addition to your family time, you have to schedule that personal time and your family time. I think one thing that people are missing a lot now is that you have your work people, everybody on Zoom. You might have your extended family, but you don't have these, I'll call them serendipitous relationships that you might have had at conferences with your peer set. Mm-hmm. And so finding some interesting and unique ways to facilitate that, I think is really important too, because, you know, you don't want to bring your work stuff home to your family or vice versa, but sometimes you just want, what are you doing in your company with a peer, just so you can have a conversation that's not going into personalities and the things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day, but thinking more strategically. And so finding ways to make those connections, I think, is also really important.
Well, this has been a pleasure in actually getting to connect back with you. And that helps me to have a little bit more work-life balance, just seeing your face, your smiling face again. And we will make it another decade, but we won't make it a decade before we see each other. And perhaps we get to hang out and see a concert or do something fun. So thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your knowledge here on LeadTail TV. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Bye, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Spencer here on the LeadTail team. We want to thank Michelle Killebrew for being our guest on the show today. If you'd like to continue the conversation, tweet us on Twitter @LeadTail or our guest @ShellKillebrew. Thanks.
If you want to see the full video interview series, you can find this episode and more at leadtailtv.com. Please make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Have ideas for the show? Do you know someone who would be great to be a guest? Drop us a line at studios@leadtail.com. Thanks.